wasn't it? I imagine that most of us would agree that the story is rather remarkable if we can step back from its familiarity. In preparation for this holiest of nights, we've spent the past several weeks reflecting on all of these angelic messages delivered to Zechariah and Joseph, not to mention the one that Mary received. And everybody was singing songs, Zechariah and Elizabeth and Mary and eventually Simeon. All of this in excitement and anticipation and celebration of the arrival of this Jesus, the Messiah, son of Abraham, son of David. And then on this holy night that we commemorate today, the baby was born, as Janet read for us and as we sang about. He was wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger. And things got a little crazy for those nearby shepherds. We're talking about another angelic messenger delivering a message of immeasurable good news, talking about a Savior being born, Christ the Lord, to these simple shepherds surrounded by the glory of the Lord. But they didn't just get a normal angel like Zechariah and Joseph and Mary. God took it up a notch, went from a single angel to a multitude of angels, praising God together. Some translations call it the armies of heaven. This massive choir of angels declares to these shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, holy night. I hope. Quite an experience for those guys, but in this familiar exchange, I think we might miss something really critical if we're not careful. Did you catch what the shepherds said to each other after this angelic choir bombarded them with this message of overwhelming good news? Here's what we read in verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. What they said was really quite simple, but profound. Let's go and see. There's an action embedded in their response. There's something required of them to engage in the eternity-shaking events of that holy night. And I would suggest to you that it is often true that receiving the good gifts of God often requires our response. Indeed, my suggestion is that the good news of Jesus is in some way incomplete without our response. Now, before we get ourselves all twisted up in theological knots by this idea, let me clarify. I'm not suggesting that the good news is dependent on us or on our good works or our best efforts or our good behavior or our stellar performance or our correct response any more than I am suggesting that the birth of Jesus was dependent on those shepherds. They were not midwives for Mary. They didn't help deliver that baby. That birth was happening with or without them. But the good work that God wanted to do through them and in them and with them, based on the good news of the work that he had already done, was dependent on their response. And we'll frame that response in several different ways tonight. Sometimes we respond to the good news of Jesus by going and seeing. What did the shepherds say? Let us go and see this thing that has happened. And they did, and they were forever changed, and the world was forever changed. And sometimes we need to take the initiative to explore, to put ourselves out there, to just take a step if we're going to encounter whatever thing God has available for us to receive. I imagine we've all been in situations where we've regretted our failure to go and see, a failure to check it out, to see what's going on. Two Christmas Eves ago, some of you may remember the drama and trauma surrounding our attempted acquisition of a free ham from Giant. I had a coupon for a free ham that was expiring on Christmas Eve, and Giant was closing at 6 p.m. And I preached a little too long, and we stuck around taking pictures a little too long, and we sang all 11 verses of the first Noel, and I knew we couldn't make it to Giant by 6 p.m. We drove the winding Grand Prix circuit known as PA State Route 103, zipping towards Lewistown. But there was no way. We got to the Giant parking lot at 6:01, and we knew it. There was no way. But you know what I said? I said, let me just go and see. Just go and see if there's any chance they might let me sprint directly to the ham section, a la supermarket sweep, and snag my 15 pounds of pinkish magnificence. There's no way, but let me just go and see. And you know what happened? I got me that ham. The kindest gentleman in the world saw my mopey-dopey frown as I approached the locked doors. He unlocked the doors for me. He escorted me to the ham section, helped me find a replacement ham when the free hams were out of stock at that point, allowed me to walk out of that store with $35 of my free meat treat. And if I hadn't decided to go and see, I would have missed it. And our Christmas would have never been the same. Can we agree that there might even be situations in our lives when the stakes are higher than free hams and free lambs and free yams and free clams and even free spams? And we miss it if we don't take that step to go and see. What if the shepherds had encountered this miraculous army of angels, good news of great joy, and said, I don't know what that was all about, but I'm kind of busy tonight. What with all of this sheep watching and hillside sitting and general abiding that we've got on tonight's itinerary? So I think we should just pass on that whole go and see invitation. Not tonight, boys, eh? Well, they would have missed the opportunity to meet the Savior of the world. So how often do we miss it? Do we miss the opportunity to experience God's blessings, God's gifts, God's desired outcomes for us? Even directly miss encountering him, miss following him, miss responding to whatever invitation God is offering to us, because we don't take that step to go and see this thing that he wants for us. So yes, sometimes the response required of us is to go and see. But let's look at another part of how we can respond to the good news of Jesus. Let's look at verses 17 and 18 of Luke 2. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we respond to the good news of Jesus by caring and sharing. Now, very quickly, it's clear that the shepherds extend this gift beyond themselves. They didn't just keep it to themselves, right? I was thinking about times when I missed an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, even in the simplest and subtlest of ways. And there are many times to choose from. With some cold and blustery nights recently, God reminded me of a chance I had a number of years ago to respond to his invitation to care enough to share his love, even in the simplest way. Late at night, I was upstairs getting ready for bed, heard some strange sounds downstairs, but figured that Kate was probably doing the dishes or feeding the hog or paying the bills or washing the car or something. But a minute later, Kate burst into the room and said, "Chad, didn't you hear the doorbell ring like 10 times?" I said, "Huh. No, I didn't know what that sound was. I didn't think it was the doorbell at midnight." And she said, "Chad, when you hear unidentifiable sounds downstairs, where I am all alone at midnight, maybe you could come down and investigate." Now, in my defense, our doorbell doesn't really work. It doesn't ding or dong. It just sort of grunts. But I conceded that I should be more responsive to mysterious electronic grunting sounds. So I said to Kate, "Yeah, I should do that next time." And she said, "Well, how about right now? Because the doorbell's still buzzing." I said, "It's just malfunctioning. Do you think somebody is really pummeling our doorbell at midnight? It's negative 10 degrees out there." She said, "Chad, could you just check?" Being the good, protective, proactive, responsible husband that I am, I mopily dragged myself downstairs and opened up the front door. And there was a man's face right there, like 3 inches from my face. That's even scarier than waking up to Caleb's sweet face, 2 inches from my face. This was a stranger, a grown man, who smelled really bad. And after quickly reassembling my internal organs, I said, "Hey, what can I do for you, smelly stranger?" And this guy said, "Did I DJ a party here one time?" I said, no, you never DJ'd a party here before." And he said, "Well, what frat is this?" And I said, "Oh, this isn't a fraternity. This is a house with 3 small sleeping children in it." I didn't think to mention it's also a house with a woman who in the last 10 seconds has grabbed a shovel, a carving knife, and a spray bottle of elephant repellent. After a bit more back and forth, I convinced them that this was not, in fact, a fraternity house where he had previously DJed. But as I gladly and quickly closed the door and watched this man stumble off our porch and into our bushes, I thought to myself, this dude's going to freeze to death in our front yard. And before the thought was fully formed in my mind, Kate had dropped all of her weapons and said to me, "Chad, I think we need to help him." Of course, she was right. And so I tossed on some clothes, I grabbed a flashlight, I went outside to try to help this man find a warm place to sober up. As I came around the front of our house, a car slowly pulled away, which I assume and hope to this day was a friend of his who had found him and taken him home. since I was unable to find him elsewhere during my Arctic jaunt around the neighborhood, and we have failed to find a frozen corpse since that time. So what's the connection between our friendly neighborhood frat seeker and the Christmas story? Well, this experience reminded me yet again how often I ignore or delay or reject an opportunity from Jesus to care enough about others, to share his love. Again, even in the simplest of ways. This front door encounter may not seem like an obvious invitation from Jesus, but Jesus said that whatever we do for the least of these, we do for him. I suspect you don't get a lot of folks stumbling around looking for fraternities in McVeightown. But I'm not sure there's a more relevant least of these in my community than a confused, intoxicated young man stumbling around in freezing temperatures in a t-shirt. And my first reaction was, get out of here, go away, stop bothering me so I can close the door. What I deeply desire, what I believe Jesus is calling me to pursue, calling all of us to pursue, is that we would align our hearts with his in such a way that we might readily, even immediately, respond when he invites us to care enough about others to share his love. Maybe by talking about him, and maybe by simply showing compassion like he did. How we encounter those opportunities to care and share isn't always the same. It could be a friend or family member in need, an opportunity to share the story of our relationship with God through Jesus with someone that doesn't know him, or an unexpected late night visitor banging on our malfunctioning doorbell. Are we listening to hear those invitations from God through whatever means he chooses to present those who need his love, to present them to us? Now, what I love about the shepherds is the immediacy of their response to care enough to share this good news with others. They responded to the opportunity to go and see, and then after they saw what they saw, they shared it. The exact verbiage is that they spread the word, and they spread the word about this Savior in such a way that everyone who heard from them was amazed. Indeed, one of the natural responses when we encounter Jesus, the Savior of the world, one of the natural responses is to care enough to share his saving love, his compassion, his kindness with everyone in our sphere through both word and deed, that his saving work would prevail in us and then through us and then all around us. Now let's look at verses 19 and 20 to consider a final way that we can respond to an encounter with Christ. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It strikes me that after the action of the shepherds going and seeing this thing that happened, and after the mission of sharing that amazing story with those around them, that there is a final, more internal, reflective, introspective response to the good news of Jesus. Sometimes we respond to the good news of Jesus by pondering and praising God. There's something beautifully profound about Mary, the mother who had given birth to this miracle child, whose response is recorded here in verse 19 as treasuring up all these things and pondering them in her heart. There's something so simple about this idea of the mother of God pondering this good news in her heart. Or as we see with the shepherds after their return from sharing with others about Jesus, verse 20 tells us that they glorified and praised God for all that they had seen. Again, this is something that's a little bit more internal, really just a heart of simple worship, of adoration. This last piece really isn't about an action step or a thing to do so much as a way of being, a posture of the heart to ponder the things of God and to glorify and praise and adore him because he's worthy. And if you were here on Sunday, you'll be happy to know that I purchased a new laptop for about 63 cents on Black Friday, because I was tired of not being able to type the letters G and H on my decrepit machine. And since I've been using the new laptop, I've been trying to use the phrase that I am through haggling as frequently as possible, because it has the most combined G's and H's that I could find in any two words. I am through haggling. Love typing that. Just because now, again, I can type these G's and these H's with such gusto. But here's the interesting thing. When Andy took my new and my old laptop overnight last week to transfer my files and to get everything installed, I had the most peaceful and simple and quiet evening. because my greatest distraction was not available to me. Do you know what I did that night? More than I had done in a long time. I pondered. In the spirit of Mary, I pondered things in my heart. Now, your distraction might not be your laptop. It might be your phone. It might be your TV. It might be your job or school or hobbies or even your family or friends. It could even be church. But we probably all have a thing or two, probably a few things actually for each of us, that get in the way of our simply pondering the things of God in our hearts. Let's be through haggling with those things. Let's put aside, at least periodically, the things that prevent us from simply being with Jesus. Mary, by treasuring these things in her heart, and the shepherds, in their glorifying and worshiping God, they showed us what it looks like to respond to the good news of Jesus by simply pondering and praising. So do we have an invitation to respond tonight to the good news of great joy of the arrival of Jesus? Sometimes the invitation is go and see. For some here tonight, maybe God is inviting you to encounter him for the first time, to receive the gift of his love and grace, to see him for who he really is and who you really are in light of who he is. Maybe your primary invitation tonight is simply, is simply to see God more clearly than you have ever seen him before. There's no better time than right now to take that step of initiative to go and to see Jesus. Will you respond to that invitation? If simply coming here to this place in this space with these people on this night, if going here and looking for him here was your invitation, then I'm delighted that you took that step to inquire, to investigate, to look, and to listen. And I hope that this special night is a holy night for you, when you might see and hear from him for the very first time, or maybe for the very first time in a long time. Will we respond? For those of us who already know Jesus, maybe the invitation to respond tonight to the good news of great joy of the arrival of Jesus is to care and share, to be on mission for him, to not merely be recipients of the gift of Jesus and the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that he offers to us, but then to share his love with others, to extend his kindness and generosity to those all around us, regardless of how qualified or deserving they may be, to be bearers of that hope and peace and joy and love. And the opportunities to take on that mission are aplenty. It's one purpose of the church, to equip and empower and send us followers of Jesus to be on mission for him. If you're part of the people of God, if you're part of his family, I would simply remind you tonight that Christianity is not a spectator sport. It is indeed a mission into which we are all called. So maybe tonight is an opportunity, looking into this coming new year, to actively seek out how Jesus would invite you to extend the reach of his love, his kindness, his compassion in all of the places of influence and the relationships where he's already placed you. There's no better time than right now to care and share the love of Jesus with others as an opportunity to respond to an encounter with Jesus just like those shepherds did. Will we respond? And sometimes in a world where activity and busyness can easily distract us from the most important things, maybe the invitation to respond tonight to the good news of Jesus, the good news of great joy of his arrival, is to praise and to ponder him, to be still and know that he is God, to slow down, to take a breath, to stop striving so hard and rest in the goodness of his love and the sufficiency of his provision to take care of us. If you're already on mission in doing the good works that God has prepared for you to do, but possibly becoming overwhelmed or exhausted or distracted by the sheer volume of those good works, so much that you're losing sight of the beautiful picture of God's hope and peace and joy and love that came to earth in a profoundly remarkable way on that holy night, then maybe you need to tap the brakes. For those who need to remember why we are on mission and who we serve, there's no better time than right now to be still and know that Jesus is all we really need, to simply praise and ponder his love and goodness. Will we respond? When we respond by going and seeing, by caring and sharing, by simply praising and pondering, well, then in each of these responses, we encounter the living Christ. That's the gift of Christmas, the gift of God himself, Emmanuel, which simply means God with us. Will we respond tonight and in these coming days to whatever invitation he offers us, to encounter him, to be with him, so that we might adore him in all of his glory, with all that he desires to offer to us, with all that he desires to do through us, so that he might be glorified and we would be richly and immeasurably blessed. He is worthy of our praise and adoration. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we pray that tonight as we contemplate this holiest of nights, that you would stir within us whatever it is that you would have us take away from here, that we might receive your invitation, and not just receive it, but then respond. Respond in whatever way you are calling us. That if we need to go and see, that we would go and see that which you have done. If we need to care and share the richness of your love, would you motivate us to do so? And if you would have us to simply ponder and praise, to be still and know that you are God, would you give us the discipline to do so? We thank you, Lord. We know that all of these things have meaning and purpose and value and significance because you are who you say that you are, our Savior, the Savior of the world. And because of that, we adore you. We thank you. We love you, and we pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So as we reflect on the great gift we have been given in Christ our Lord, we're going to offer a simple moment for reflection through a song, Come Adore Him, which reflects the adoration demonstrated by Mary and Joseph, by the shepherds, by the angels so long ago, the adoration into which we are invited here tonight. We simply invite you to ponder in your heart whatever the Lord might be stirring for you, how you would respond, that his hope and peace and joy and love would ring true in your life in a new and fresh way tonight and in the coming days. So whatever might be stirring, would you open up your heart and mind as we sing this song over you? In the stillness of this moment, allow the simple melody to draw you into a spirit of adoration and declare in your spirit the words of this song.